This Israel report is brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you are based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.
The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
It is 7:43. Before I chat to Anthony Reich, Mukundi has just reminded me that I didn't answer the sports question. What is the name of the stadium that the opening game of the World Cup will be played in? And I see Garen says Estadio Azteca. I don't know how to pronounce it. And so does Marilyn and Matt Colin S. also saying that it is indeed the correct answer. 7:44, Anthony Reich, good morning. Hope you are well.
Okay, Tov, yes, another interesting day in the Middle East. I just wanted to go back to our story from yesterday about the integration of women into tank units. And it's interesting that the IDF has come out with an announcement saying that, in fact, there has been no decision to mix men and women into tank units, and that we need to clarify that the High Court decision was really forcing the military to conduct a pilot rather than to force the military to integrate women with men into tank units. It was all about a pilot that was supposed to be conducted, and apparently the pilot program has not yet fully been decided upon. But it's interesting that the IDF said that they are trying to take advantage of all men and women who wish to fulfill combat roles. And the IDF often refers to its place in society as the People's Army. As the People's Army, the IDF places the highest importance on integrating all sectors of society while making an effort to preserve their way of life and to meet their needs without benefiting one population at the expense of another. And then it said that the military is working to integrate women into combat positions wherever possible. And a pilot program, by definition, is an initial trial intended to assess future implementation. So I think perhaps, Howard, it drives you a little less dilly than yesterday, because I think it...
Well, no, it doesn't, because I never really thought it was about the IDF. My gripe wasn't with the IDF. It was with the ruling that the IDF is meant to comply with. And that speaks to this rift between... The judiciary in Israeli society that I don't think is helpful.
Correct. I mean, there clearly is a rift, and you're right in saying that this is a good example of why the rift applies, because the religious community and to some degree, Prime Minister Netanyahu, in his personal capacity and as a representative of the Likud, have this notion that the judiciary is out to get them almost at any price, and that any decision that comes up in front of the High Court will inevitably go against them if they happen to be a party to it. And that is one of the big gripes. And, I think that we need to be sensitive. We shouldn't just dismiss it and say, well, the judiciary is an independent arm, that people have been appointed as judges over the years by different governments. And we need to respect the independence that judiciary have. Of course, all of that is correct. But it's true as well that the judiciary needs to be sensitive to our society and what impact their rulings may have on our society, while trying to maintain fairness and equality across all population groups. And the decisions and the impact of the decisions clearly need to be measured as well.
Absolutely. Let's talk about what is actually happening. We've been so focused this morning on the World Cup that I haven't really brought listeners up to speed with regard to events in Iran and the Middle East. What is the latest news?
I suppose the Israelis also kind of following the World Cup, but some are saying the World What, you know, what is going on, because it just seems such a long way away. Mm. So there was a very interesting event that took place during the course of yesterday. I saw some of the feeds reporting on the fact that an American B-52 bomber had taken off from Sicily and was heading in the direction of the Middle East. And then a few hours later, I saw that the B-52 bomber was over the skies of Saudi Arabia. And the report was clear that this B-52 bomber wasn't trying to fly under the radar, that this was a B-52 bomber that wanted everybody to know that it was in flight and that it was on the way to the Middle East, and it was advertising its position quite freely. And then by the time the B-52 bomber actually landed in Bahrain a few hours later, it turns out that it wasn't a B-52 bomber after all, and that it was actually a Boeing PA Poseidon that had been coded as a B-52 bomber. And we just wondered to ourselves whether that was an error or whether that was an intentional action in order to send a certain message. Once upon a time, when military planes were flying, they wanted to fly below the radar, and they didn't want anybody to know that they were moving around. And hence we have this F-35 stealth bomber, and that goes below the radar and that nobody can pick up. But nowadays, the social media requirement is that everything is very visible and very much advertised. Having said all of that, we also need to add on the fact that President Trump seemed to lose his stuff yesterday when talking about Iran. And he said that Iran had been taking too long with the negotiations and that they were going to pay the price. That was all of a sudden yesterday, after a few days earlier saying, we're doing well, we're moving towards an agreement, we'll sign it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. By yesterday, he'd kind of lost his patience entirely and then threatened that he said we attacked Iran yesterday, we will attack them today as well. And they did. There were attacks that were carried out last night against Iranian targets. Also, very, very similar to the previous night, mostly targets in the area of the Straits of Hormuz and targets against petrochemical facilities. In fact, there was a huge petrochemical facility that was attacked by American Air Force last night. They claim that this petrochemical facility was one that produced up to 50% of Iran's petrochemical production. And so this was clearly a major hit that was carried out on this petrochemical plant in the Asulia area and other islands in the area of the Straits of Hormuz. So whereas I thought that the previous night would just be a tit for tat, backwards and forwards, and things would calm down, that was not what actually transpired. And interestingly, Israeli security reports suggest that the Israeli officials are just waiting for this all to blow up. The Iranians have threatened that they will respond to what happened last night with strikes against Israel. I have to tell you that we on the home front have not been warned to change our actions, to change our daily routines in any way. So this to me indicates that Israeli security assessment is that we are not necessarily just about to receive some sort of a response from Iran towards Israel. But I know that the Israeli security officials would quite like it if Iran responded against Israel, because we've still got that package that was put together for attacking on Monday that has been put into the freezer now to await another opportunity. And I know that it's just ready to come out of the freezer and to be defrosted and to be actioned right away. So at the first opportunity, one can be absolutely sure that that plan, whatever it was on Monday, and the targets that were put into the system to be attacked during that particular operation on Monday, will certainly be taken off ice and will be put into action right away. And everybody's just kind of waiting for the moment when they're able to put that into plan. Interesting to know exactly what it might entail, because it seems to be something that's been relatively well constructed and well thought through, and people are quite eager to somehow make this happen. So at the moment, again, another attack against Iranian targets last night by Americans. We haven't seen any response yet from the Iranians, but you can bet your bottom dollar that that response will be coming in due course. The Iranians won't sit back and watch all of that. And of course, you know, as I thought, there really isn't a deal to be done. And the American president is now losing his patience with this taking too long. By the way, one has to add that he is somewhat responsible for this taking so long, because it takes two to tango. He could easily have cut this short long time ago, recognized that there was never really a deal to be done, instead of somehow slicing and dicing and trying to come up with something. He could have cut this quite some time ago and said, listen, this is a waste of my time and everybody else's. Let's just move to the next stage, assuming that there is no deal. That's where we are right now.
The IDF has acknowledged that an Air Force base was hit during the shelling from Iran on Monday. Initially, we thought nothing. There were no hits. But then slowly, this information started to come out. What more do we know about this?
So we know that this involves the Ramat David Air Base, which is in the north of Israel, not too far from Haifa, actually, in that sort of area. And interestingly, the way that this information has leaked out has been on a sort of drip feed basis. Initially, there was some source that takes satellite pictures, that had a satellite picture of the area. It was a very, very low-grade satellite picture. But the satellite picture seemed to show quite clearly that there had been some damage done to what looked like a hangar at the Ramat David Air Base. And they were publishing this public in the social media. People were having a careful look at it, and there could be, it was quite clear that there was some damage done. The IDF initially didn't make any comment about this, but it was kind of business as usual. And then finally, the IDF did come out confirming, because it was just so obvious and so public out there that they could no longer deny it, that the Ramat David Air Base, in fact, had been hit by Iranian missile fire, although we don't know whether it was hit directly by a missile or whether it was simply in the line of an interception where shrapnel fell and potentially damaged that hangar. But the IDF has been at pains to point out that this was not an operational hangar, that the hangar was used for some sort of logistics purposes rather than being something operational, and that it really doesn't impact in any way the ability of the IDF to use that airbase, which is used for F-16 planes and also has a lot of drones that are operated from that area. So they claim that this was just an area that was sort of used for support vehicles and equipment, for refueling and servicing fighter aircraft rather than the aircraft itself. I mean, the reality is, of course, that the IDF wouldn't wish to acknowledge or advertise that one of the air bases has been hit, of that you can be sure. And we know that in other countries outside of Israel, it's actually a criminal offense to publish the details of where missiles might have hit, because of course it encourages the enemy to try to replicate that, and it potentially creates a danger which we would prefer not to have. So in Israel, we're a little bit too, I think, too forgiving in terms of allowing details of hits to be published. And it's an interesting kind of dilemma for the Israeli public, because the Israeli public really do want to know the truth. We don't want to be lied to. We don't want to feel like information is being hidden from us in order to make us feel better. And we didn't know that this airbase was hit. And now that we know that the airbase is hit, it kind of shows something of a weakness. It potentially shows a chink in the armor of our air defense systems. We know that the air defense systems are not entirely hermetic, and that there are potential ways of penetrating that as good as they are, and they really do a fantastic job. We shouldn't necessarily jump to conclusions and denigrate the quality of the air defense that we have, but of course it is not entirely 100% hermetic, and that there will be times when these missiles do fall through. So we don't want to be lied to. On the other hand, we don't want to feel like we're weaker than we really are, because I think we feel that we have a fairly strong position on the home front. And it is something of a dilemma. I actually am quite glad that this has come out and the Israeli public know about this, and that nobody's trying to paste over it, trying to conceal the reality. The problem, of course, is that it does create a weakness against our enemies, who know that this airbase has been hit. By the way, not for the first time. We know that this airbase has been targeted and potentially hit before, although we don't have all the details. But there's clearly evidence of the fact that it has been hit before. So this is a target. And we hope that somehow the defenses against this airbase will be strengthened, that in the future, when they try to target it again, which inevitably they will do, that we will have a better defense to be able to protect it.
Anthony, isn't it part of the reason that people aren't knowledgeable about this is not because perhaps Israel is scared to share the information with the public, but knows that whatever is shared with the public is also shared with Iran, meaning Iran gets better intel as to how their missiles should be positioned?
That is, of course, always the dilemma. With our own public, we do want to share the truth, I think. But by sharing the truth with our own public, of course, it makes that information public also to our enemies, and with them we would prefer not to share this. There's no way of filtering it and saying it's only for our consumption and not for theirs. So it is something of a dilemma, and it also gives an opportunity for politicians to be a little less truthful, because then they could say, well, we didn't tell you because we didn't want them to know. So I don't really know which way this turns out, but I think we do want to know. We internally, as the home front, do want to know what's going on.
Yes, because you need to trust it. And
correct.
And if there's that feeling that things are being hidden, then, well, what else is being hidden?
Correct. What else do we not know about that's being ignored? Exactly. That is exactly the reason. And of course, when you're in a war situation for going on 3 years, we need to feel trust in our authorities, in the army, in those who are making decisions, because our lives literally depend upon their decision making, and we need to feel trust in that.
That is where we leave it. Anthony Reich, thank you as always. I can't believe it's already Thursday, which means I wish you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you on Monday morning, 7:45, for the Israel Report.
That Israel Report was brought to you by the Blue Agency. Your Israel property is in good hands. Owning properties in Israel can be a great investment, but challenging to manage if you're based abroad. The Blue Agency will manage every aspect of your property, finding and vetting tenants, maintaining your property and getting it rental ready, negotiating contracts and collecting rentals, reporting back to you regularly. The Blue Agency has built a reputation for trust and confidentiality over 20 years. The Blue Agency, your Israel property is in good hands. Contact us at www.theblueagency.com.